WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We are going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in double time for the holidays and my 30th anniversary. Black Friday, we're going to be in Harford County up at Conrad's. I've had a lot of crabs there. I've not had the crab cake. No French fries this time of year. I'm cutting down too much pumpkin pie. We're going to be at Pappas on the 3rd of December, and then we're going to kick off the 30th anniversary in its totality at the Beaumont in Catonsville on the 9th. And I think Tom McMillan's going to be joining us there. We have guests. The mayor's going to be with us at Coco's this week. No guest more held highly in esteem here in my world than this guy, longtime columnist at Sports Illustrated in Chicago. I got to know him a little bit at the turn of the century when I did my penance in Northbrook at Sporting News Radio and 101 Sports. You welcome back the man, the myth, the legend, Rick Tellender. It would not be a Chicago week if I don't reach out to you and bug you. And I love Zoom, man. I get to see the books behind you, the bar, the pictures, all in all of its sports writer glory. You are my Oscar Madison, Tellender.
I guess that's a good thing. Thank you, Nestor.
Well, there's no higher compliment to be paid. All I ever wanted to do in my life was be Oscar Madison, and it worked out that I wound up like doing this. But, man, the Bears, we only go in every 8 years, and they landed that spaceship on the top of Soldier Field, and it's always so weird. The weather's always terrible. Last time in there, we had a tornado delay, so to give you a little bit of perspective. And all I thought about in that press box was, there's a lot of glass here, Rick. You know, there's a lot of glass in the press box in Chicago at the football stadium. The Bears never get better. And I'm calling you on this, and we're trying to figure our way out with the Ravens and injuries and didn't play so well in Miami the other night. But it always feels like we come into Chicago, the Bears have a coach in trouble, a quarterback in trouble. The owner still stinks. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It just goes on and on. The faces change. The names change. We keep going back to 1985, the Bears Super Bowl championship. So that was, 15 and 20. If I'm not mistaken, that's 36 years ago?
Correct.
And we keep trotting out the 1985 Bears. Those are the champions in Chicago. Nothing seems to work out right. And now the most recent iteration of all these failures, a lot of it comes down to quarterbacking too. Never had a great quarterback, not since Sid Luckman. That's even before my day. I don't even remember him. I've heard the name. Apparently, he was pretty good. Jim McMahon was okay, couldn't stay healthy. And that's it. You know, Jay Cutler came in. He had, seemingly he had all the tools, but a lot of other issues. And here we are back again. Tried Mitchell Trubisky. You know, the Bears traded up to get him because he was going to be the superstar quarterback they've always wanted. That turned into being a complete failure. And now we went with Justin Fields, and he's from Ohio State. He's shown flashes of being pretty good, but you just can't tell. The offense is terrible. The passing attack is terrible. He sometimes is running for his life. He's a rookie. Got rookies a lot of slack, naturally. But here we are again, treading water.
Well, the expectations, you know, always seem to be relatively high in the offseason of maybe you can make the playoffs. And Nagy's certainly been the guy under fire, right? I mean, from having some level of productivity and winning a little bit and Khalil Mack and to where what we're finding. Because when you see them on the schedule, you're like, hold on, Chicago, third weekend of November, that's a tough road game. I'm not saying it's not a tough road game. We're not very good right now as constructed. But neither are they. And I think that, at some point you talk about ownership. I'm stuck with the Angeloses here, in year 28 of that mess. And you've been out there for all sorts of ownership and hockey and basketball and two sides of baseball and all that. But George Halas isn't coming back. And whatever that McCaskey situation has been, it has not been productive any more than the Ford family in Detroit.
It's kind of interesting. George Halas basically started the NFL. He was there at the beginning. Some people call him, one of the founders. And Virginia McCaskey is 99, 98 or 99. She's his daughter and his one daughter. So there's only really been one owner, George Halas and his family, immediate family, since 100 years. It really is something of, it's almost, people do not like to attack the McCaskeys specifically because of this kind of family history. You know, like you brought up, there are a lot of families, the Rooneys, it goes on and on. different families that have owned teams, franchises, and their name becomes associated with that franchise. Muggs Halas, George Halas's son, was supposed to take over the team. He did for a short, very short period back in the early 80s, and he died very quickly. He was very young. The only person left was Virginia McCaskey, who was essentially a housewife. She has 9 or 10 kids. She had never expected to be a football executive. She actually didn't play the game. And, you know, she's married to Ed McCaskey, who I used to talk to Ed all the time. He was a great, funny guy. But his great thrill in life was singing. And he liked to sing. He said, I was a barroom singer. I was, you know, that's what I was, Rick. I loved it. And we actually, at the gas station in Lake Forest, the one, you know, I lived near there, near the Bears practice facility. At Christmas time, they had a couple CDs, and it would be Ed McCaskey sing songs of love. And you could get the CD with, you know, the owner of the Bears or the husband of the owner of the Bears, whatever, singing these songs, these old crooner tunes.
Same label the Super Bowl Shuffle was on, or different label?
Different label, and did not have a dance to go with it. Anyway, back to the Bears and the actual ownership, the direction. It's always been the cast. It's always been the Halas family. And someday, Virginia, I think she, you know, I'm not sure. I think she might be on her way to 100 years old. She might be 99 right now. I'm not sure. She's still at the games. I mean, none of us live forever. You know, she may, you know, Queen Elizabeth may live forever. I don't know. They may outlast all of us, you know, me by 100 years. But someday something has to happen with this team. And they don't know. There's so many other siblings and offspring involved that nobody knows what exactly will happen at that moment if she ever, you know, if she dies, which, you know, I'm not saying I wanted to, but we all die at some point. So the direction probably comes from the top. Ryan Pace, the Bears do not like to fire people. Ryan Pace is a general manager. He clearly screwed up with Mitchell Trubisky, drafted up to take him as number two pick. Didn't have to do that. He turns out he's a backup with the Bills in Buffalo. He's still here. You know, a lot of people, that'd be your one chance. You're gone. That's it. But now he's got Justin Fields, and so we are going through this again. You brought up Khalil Mack and some of these other players, Akeem Hicks. Great players. But if they don't play, if they're not healthy, what difference does it make? And football is a brutal game, as we all know. There was an injury last night on Sunday Night Football, and they didn't even show it. Now, I don't know what happened to that guy, and I'm glad they didn't. I saw him screaming, writhing on the ground.
They've stopped showing it, right? I mean, they've really gotten coy about CTE and all of the, which is really the original sin for all of this, right?
Yes, true. CTE is out there. They don't like to, you know, talk about it when a guy gets dinged or whatever. But they, you know, they did say the injury was gruesome, so we didn't see it. That's good. I'm glad we didn't. But nevertheless, it happened. So players can't stay healthy in this game. And if they can't, then it really doesn't matter if they're on your team. They don't help you. The Bears could rise up. You know, like you said, if you look at them playing in the third week in November, December, they always have the capabilities of playing the way they used to. They're not a team like the Browns. I mean, there's something wrong with that. Poor Browns. I pity them. My son-in-law is from Cleveland. He got a lot of family members. All those kids wear Browns jerseys and stuff. And they're destined, they're doomed to be losers their whole lives. And I'm trying to help them. It's never going to get better there.
Rick, you covered the Cubs for a long time, and then it happened, and then it happened. You know, I mean, it even happened for the Red Sox again and again and again. Rick Tellender is here. He's out in Chicago. I'm hoping to get to Chicago with my aching back here this weekend to get some of that delicious Pequod's pizza and catch up with a bunch of old friends on the north side, my days in Northbrook. The one thing I've talked to the Chicago people this week, because I haven't had many of you on for what we don't play big White Sox Orioles series, and, you know, we don't have an NHL team or So you're getting together is more like, oh, we had the White Sox played the game where we didn't let the fans in and shut the stadium down. That was unique until we had a plague and just played a whole season with no fans. I would say to people from about Chicago, and me being a helicopter sports radio show host at the turn of the century, where I'd fly in to this sports craze place in a way that, look out from East Baltimore. I thought we loved the Orioles here, and we love Brooks, and we love Johnny U, and we pined to get a team, and then we got a team, and we won a Super Bowl, and we love the Ravens here. But there's something different. I mean, when I spent an hour in Midway, which I did about a month ago just on a layover, you know, your newspapers and the way people wear their hats and sports, it's a real sports town and in a different kind of way. And you've had the front row seat for Jordan, for these Blackhawks Cups, and then the scandal, for the White Sox even winning a title, and then the Cubs on their magic carpet ride. There's been all of that. And even going back to the Bears, you were around for all of that. But as a town, to park there and cover sports for a lifetime, that's been something that's amazing that I really treasure our relationship with this. But you've chronicled it all in the old school dinosaur sports writer way and columnist on Deadline and all that through some really glorious things over the last couple of decades there.
Yeah, I have to say, I never dreamed I was going to be a sports columnist. I mean, that was not a goal of mine. I'm so happy it turned out this way, but I didn't dream of that. I never thought, well, you couldn't do that.
You wanted to play. You were a really good athlete.
I was good enough, but I wasn't great. But I wanted to write. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to make my living as a writer. I remember talking with Bernie Lincecum, who was a columnist for the Tribune a while back, and he said, Rick, I never wanted to be a sports columnist. He was an English teacher. A lot of us stumbled into this as a kind of a natural outgrowth of being in a place where we were writing about sports because we love sports. And then writing a column, once you've been around long enough, then you have enough opinions. You don't want to start too early as a columnist because you just don't have that sense of history. But the history here in Chicago and the love that people have for sports, listen, having two baseball teams, one on the north side, one on the south side, you know, one is 3600 north, one is 3500 south. You can get there on the red line. You can take the L and get walked almost directly into Wrigley Field, or take the L and go down and walk almost directly into whatever it's called now, Guaranteed Rate Field, Comiskey, whatever. You know, you can't do that any other place. You can do it in New York a little bit, and maybe you can say San Francisco, the Bay Area, but LA, you can't really do that. So that's special. And then we have a hockey team with passionate Blackhawks fans. I mean, they're just crazy fans. They always have been. They're very, very knowledgeable. And of course, the Bears, you know, when they win, that's everything. That's all we really care about is the NFL. But Michael Jordan put the Bulls on the map and made basketball something special. He put Chicago on the map. We used to go, when I travel internationally or wherever, people say, oh, Chicago. And they go, you know, like a machine gun, like, oh, Al Capone, eh? Al Capone, you know.
Well, that's a joke in stripes. Chicago, bang, bang, right?
You know, the whole thing. It was just, you know, gangsters and what in Prohibition and all that, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Then Jordan came along and it's like, I mean, I swear to God, everywhere I went, it could have been Australia. It could have been Spain or, you know, England, Ireland, anywhere. But, oh, Michael Jordan from Chicago. That became a huge deal. So we saw that. And we also saw, as you brought up, the White Sox. And we had one of the all-time characters forever in sports, Ozzie Guillen. And that was the Ozzie Guillen show for so many years. I really blessed to have been able to spend my whole career here in Chicago. Even when I was writing for Sports Illustrated, I would travel out of here. But then to be a columnist for 25 years, I have never had a day ever where I didn't have something to write about. I mean, never.
Well, and then the Bears gave you something a couple of weeks ago when they're buying land, right? And to your point, the columnists need to be the grown-ups, need to understand business and ownership and sports and leadership. I had to learn that. I started the newspaper in 1984 with John Stebbin. They took my football team. I mean, my football team went on Mayflowers, and then it was – how do we serve crab cakes? How do we win expansion? How do we humanely extract another franchise from another marketplace? And probably hurting the feelings of your Cleveland friends. But this modern era of shooting down John Gruden with these emails in order to get back at Mark Davis, in order to get at Stan Kroenke, and now Kroenke's not going to indemnify. The Bears have their issues because they're playing in this spaceship in the middle of a park that they really wasn't a very good stadium the minute they renovated. It was a mistake all the way around. And at some point, they're going to have to play football someplace not where I'm going on Sunday, right?
Well, Soldier Field is a disaster. It just, every time I see it, it's hideous. And from every angle, it is the stupidest design anybody's ever seen. And they said, well, we can't get rid of those colonnades at Soldier Field because it's a legendary field done in honor of, you know, of our troops.
So let's wreck them instead.
You know, it was there for track and field. It used to be a great big monster thing. And it looks like either a spaceship, or I sometimes say a toilet seat to put there, you know, like a big alien toilet seat for some gargantuan human being. But it's the most, it's terrible. There's nothing good about it. It's the smallest stadium. They can't have a Super Bowl. It has no dome. Parking is not good. It's great that it's right there, but it is hideous. So if they move to Arlington Park, go get it. Start from scratch and build something new that, you know, modern. One thing in Chicago.
So you are the columnist writing the scrap soldier. You're ready to put that on the front page of the. I mean, that's a very difficult civic argument to get into, I think.
I haven't had the chance yet. When it first happened, I said, hey, I got no problem with them going. People said, oh, my God, it won't be the Chicago Bears. Said, well, you know what? The New York teams haven't played New York in, I don't know, when. When was the last
50 years.
Okay, there you go. They're still the New York Giants, right? The New York Jets. Doesn't matter where they are. People will drive to it. They have actual parking and to have a stadium that is actually has some amenities. I mean, Soldier Field can stay right there, get rid of the toilet seat and put it back the way it was with the colonnades and just make it some kind of, you know, they can have concerts and all that. It's there. But for football, it's terrible. It's just awful. And there's no getting around it. And if they try to fix it again, then that would be a stone cold disaster.
He is Rick Tlender. He's been covering sports in Chicago forever and ever and ever. And is there anything you want to say about baseball? I always think of Chicago as a baseball town. And when I'm there, there's always a buzz about the Cubs, even when they stunk, right? In the aftermath of them both winning, everybody's had a parade now and got to feel good if you're of the right age. I mean, I'm in a city here that's just abandoned baseball because baseball's abandoned it. And we have this thing called lacrosse here that I know is caught on in your part of the world, but it's really sort of foundational here, especially amongst white suburban folk. And I never carried a lacrosse stick. My last name's Aparicio, Rick. I'm a baseball guy, but they've just done such a poor job here for a generation. And, I mean, they've even screwed up the aftermath of Cal Ripken. Really hard to do, you know? And I don't know what the Cubs' aftermath is, and I know they're building their little gambling village next to their thing and their little Wrigley. And who knows? The White Sox have been screwing things up forever, right? Even the building of the stadium the first time around, they screwed that up. But that being said, it's a baseball place where baseball still has some heartbeat in a way that baseball better be saving places like Chicago and St. Louis and better be hugging and loving them up big time because Baltimore needs some help.
Yeah, they better. There's some real problems with baseball. This last World Series, I mean, I can't deal with four-hour games. I'm sorry. This is modern times. We're not in the 1890s or whatever. Games have gotten longer every year for 75 years. It makes no sense. I'm sorry. That's one thing that will kill baseball anywhere because this is a modern era. This is fast. You know, we don't need 4-hour games. And these games I think they average 3 hours and 45 minutes. It's ridiculous. You know, you can play, sure you need ads, but at any rate, back to Chicago, it is a gem of a baseball town. And it really is sad what's happened to Baltimore. Got a beautiful stadium there. You know, when you see something like that happen, it hurts everybody because the league is only as good as its weakest part. People say they want to dominate a league, a team. Well, you know what? You can dominate, but if you don't have anybody to play or any real competitor, that's not good for you either. I'll go back to like the NFL when the Cowboys were the good guys, they were America's team, and the Raiders were this evil sinkhole, you know, run by the devil. That was good for the NFL, whether it was accurate or not. And probably wasn't very accurate at all. That was good. We need that dramatic element for all of sports for us to care. And it's not good for the East Coast. It's not good for baseball, but Baltimore is no good. And it has been for so long. It's really tragic. As far as lacrosse goes, my son played lacrosse. I never held a lacrosse stick either. He would play lacrosse and I'd catch with a catcher's mitt, Friday, you know, and then throw it back to him. And I was like, oh, crap. Afraid of getting killed with that ball, but he actually got a scholarship to play. He played at the University of Vermont, and I found it a fascinating game. Don't know much about it. Don't really even know the rules, but I don't think that it would ever replace something as traditional as baseball. It's certainly not football, but it's, I like the sport.
So your kid wanted to go to college someplace with a similar climate. So he picked Burlington, huh?
Well, you know, he did get an offer, I think from someplace, either Eastern Shore or Maryland, something or rather, or some somewhere around Maryland. But yeah, I figured, let's see what it's like when it's 20 below zero. And I like that. My daughter swam at Dartmouth. They had to get up when it was pitch black, walk to the swimming pool wearing, so they could see out of a little tiny hood like this. God knows what the wind chill was. Get out of there, swim for hours, have another swim, never see daylight. I'm thinking this is like going through a stalag in Siberia.
No, my wife is from New Hampshire. I'm familiar with this. Familiar with the holidays. I always say to her, it's a different climate. You get off the plane, it's 20 degrees colder than any place I want to be at any given time. But hey, last thing for you.
Yes, sir. It makes you tough. Those people live in San Diego. They're a bunch of wimps. I'm sorry.
I want to be a wimp in San Diego. I want that to be my outcome. Rick, last thing for you. If I fly in this weekend, I got Michael Jordan's credit card, and you and me and Jim Lickey get together to honor the ghost of Harry Caray and Chet Kopick. Where are you taking? Give me the Chicago experience from Telender. That if you know, all access, no limits, and a full credit card. We're bringing the black card in. Where are you taking me, Chicago?
Okay. we'd probably just go to Billy Goat's underground there, lower Michigan Avenue, and don't leave. And you get a double cheeseburger, beer. Marco, the bartender, he could slide a beer all the way down the rail from one end of the bar to the other. He's really got a...
I've never been to Billy Goat's. Like, I've been to Chicago. I've worked there. I know where it is. I've never been in and had the experience because I'm always like getting a steak or I'm doing something, you know?
Food. You can go get great food or you can get a double or triplet cheeseburger. That's right. No, call it Pepsi.
All right. Well, so you're sending me to where you're sending me to a tourist trap, Telender. Come on, man.
Sometimes in the Tribune used to be right, one on each side of it. So it was just like drunken old newspaper guys. Tourists were terrified.
I miss hanging out with drunken old newspaper guys. I used to be a drunken young newspaper guy. So I have great appreciation.
Thank God we wise up, we sober up, Lester.
Well, some of us have, you know, at least on the weekends. But, hey, I appreciate you. You always make time for me, and I've been reading you my whole life, and a lot of respect for everybody of your era who covered sports on a night-by-night basis, did the deadlines. I was a newspaper guy, and you pulled off the trick of being the columnist covering all these teams out in Chicago, and I appreciate the time. And I'll go to the Billy Goat Tavern to honor you, and
You better. You better go there now. I mean, like, well, I have my guys come after you.
I heard about you guys, Chicago, bang, bang. I know all about it. I've been there. Rick Telender joining us from Chicago. Go read his writings and follow him out on the interwebs. Follow me at Chicago. I'm hoping to get my backpack on my back. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Several places here in the coming weeks, including the 30th anniversary. Starting things next week on Black Friday in Abingdon at Conrad's Crabs. I am Nestor. We are WNST. AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.